I'm really glad to be back again to tell you more of my testimony and more of what the Lord did for us in Africa. I wish I was there tonight. But you people have been absolutely wonderful. I mean, you've been so supportive. And do you know, I'm going to give you a nice word. You're very like the Irish. Is that good? Really, you've been smiling and helping us along, or I don't know, maybe you're just hoping that we finish. But anyway, the Lord bless you. You've really been good, and it's been a joy even to talk with so many of you afterwards. And so many of the young people, I don't know, many have claimed for the mission field, but they've all got names from the Bible, so I can pray that way anyway. Peter and John and Andy and all the rest. Andrew. But I told this morning of how the Lord saved me, and I think maybe because there are so many more here that didn't hear it, I'll go quickly over it again. I was born into a Christian home, and I do thank God for that. You know, that's a great start. Parents, if you know the Lord, you have no idea what that means to your children. I nursed in the Royal Victoria Hospital up there in Belfast. I did my training there. And girls used to come in and have their babies, and the babies would be left because they weren't married, there were no husbands, and they'd be left for adoption or for anybody that wanted them. Of course, I was very often amongst those wee babies. I loved them. But what a start to life, eh? What a start to life. Instead of having a mother and a father who loved the Lord and who prayed them through. I used to come home from school and see my mommy at the same old chair. I hadn't very much friends. We were very poor. But she was always at this old chair, and she was praying for her little family that God would save us. And I would go over, and she had beautiful, long, black, wavy hair. And I said, "Mommy, I love you." And she would look up with that tender face. "Alma, sweetheart, I love you too." That's all I needed. And I went out and played, and maybe it wasn't very nice to the rest of the girls I played with, but that prayer was tremendous on my life. And I thank God, although I did stray. And I worked, when I went to school, I was sent home with my papers to go to higher grades and university. But my aunt and uncle, because Mommy died when I was, Daddy died when I was 3, and Mommy died when I was 7. And so we didn't have them very long. So we were sent down. I was sent down to an aunt and uncle who were very strict and Presbyterians. And brought up in the shorter catechism. Anyway, I thank the Lord for that. But in the mill, it was great because the girls used to say to me, "Oh, Alma, with a voice like that, you should be on the stage." I said, "I for what?" But I used to go about singing, and I would get the wee woman who would sweep the floors there in the mill. I'd say, "Lend us your broom." And I'd get the old broom, and boy, would I ever go around with that singing, oh, Johnny, how you can love. And the latest hit then, I was singing around the dance halls was, "When I grow too old to dream, I'll have you to remember." Do you know it? And there's a lovely girl with blonde hair, and she knows it. I thought it would have been only the oldies with white hair that would know that. But I used to sing that, and boy, the clapping to get me back on, and I thought, this is it. I've made my life. But every night going to bed, I remembered my mother on her knees, praying for her little family that God would save us and help us to follow him until we met her in heaven. And she asked us to promise her that we would meet her in heaven. And I never was happy on the dance floor singing a lot of trash. That's all it was, a lot of trash. Huh? Oh, Johnny, how you can love. My goodness, if these men are the... I'll not say anything. But anyway, it is a lot of trash. And anyway, I was asked to go along by some of the girls in the mill who were Christians. And to go along and hear Seth Sykes and his wife, the Scottish evangelists. And so I went along to hear them. And they were Scottish. And he called his wee wife up to sing. And that's what I went for. I heard she was a lovely singer. So I went along to see her, if she really could sing, you know. Isn't it awful? But I went along to hear her singing. And the thing that struck me was the chorus of one of the hymns. And I'm going to sing it to you. Anybody Scottish here? Oh, I hope not. Oh! Well, the Lord bless you. I'm going to crucify your language. But this is how I heard it. We shall meet our loved ones there on the eternal glory sheet in the land where the roses never feed. I could hardly see her for the tears. I said, Lord, my mommy's there and I want to see her. And then at the appeal, after Mr. Sykes gave a tremendous word, the devil fought with me, and I said, but you know, that's the end of my singing, and that's the end of the money I get, and that's the end of everything, and no more nice dresses. And I said, but Lord, that's nothing. I want to see my mother again. Mother, tonight I plead with you, love your children. That's the thing that will keep them straight, to see and to know that they have a mother who loves them and who cares about them and who prays for them. And let them see you praying and teach them how to pray. That's what my mother did. And that's the thing that drew me that night away from all the dance bands and money and everything else, back into the old life of working in the mill. And but then I went out and I just cried to God, Lord, save me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Make me clean. And just help me to be your child. And I went in and told all the girls. I said, you know what happened? I was saved last night. And they said, what? You saved? Ha ha, we'll see. Well, they did see. And I do thank the Lord for giving me the grace to testify to it. And anyway, I went on at that. And then I went into nursing and midwifery. And I had a great time up there. I loved nursing. And I loved midwifery. And I know there are some girls here who are nurses, but they haven't done their midwifery. Shame on you. It's great. Delivering those wee babies. Giving them a sweet spank. Oh, it's great. Well, I had a great time there in the Royal Maternity Hospital delivering these wee babies. But then I started singing in the church choir. And I used to go in by the choir door. But there was always somebody at the choir door. And he would say to me, could you give us that wee rose in your breast? As though I was shocked. And I really wanted them. The next Sunday was the same. Would you give us that little rose in your breast, please? So this went on about four Sundays. Then I said to him, well, who are you anyway? He says, well, my name is Bob McAllister. And I thought I'd get him this way. Well, how old are you anyway? I'm 14. I says, ha, see, I'm 15, so I'm far too old for you anyway. You know what he did? Watch it, girls. Got the whole, he says, come on in, none of your nonsense. It's been like that ever since. He's just dragged me along. But it's good. I was really happy, and I was glad that God gave me that choice. Because we've had many ups and downs and ins and outs through our missionary career, but God has blessed us. Well, after that then I went into training in Bible College. But you know, friends, I forgot to tell you, going up the Shankill Road that night after I was saved, it was the time of the blackout. Do you remember? Well, you wouldn't know here. You're a Christian over here. We had a blackout over there in Britain. All the lights were out. See nothing. What?
Second World War.
All the lights were out. And we used to bump into the lamppost and say, excuse me. I remember that. But as we walked along in the dark, I heard a voice. See, God had to speak to me loudly and show me and demonstrate to me, because I couldn't believe that anybody loved me. I could not believe anybody loved me. After my mother had gone, that was it. And a voice said to me, Alma, I want you as a missionary in Africa. And I couldn't see anything anyway, but there was nobody near. And I thought, is that the Lord speaking to me? And I just said, is that you, Lord? Because look at me. I have nothing. Friends, I had nothing. My shoes used to let in the rain. I had very little clothes. I had nothing. I said, Lord, just look at me. If you want me on the mission field, what you do with me anyway? It came again. Alma. He knew my name. He knows your name tonight. Friend, he knows your name. He knows your problems. He knows all about you. And one thing about him, he can meet your needs. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, I have nothing. Young people, this is where I want you to get to. Maybe you feel you've nothing. How could I be a missionary? Just listen to God's call. He'll do the rest. I said, I have nothing, Lord. But what I have, I give to you. What I have is just myself, really. And so after I did that, I felt a real peace in my heart that I had a bed. And I said, to be a missionary. God wants me to be a missionary. And I had no pride at all about it, because I still didn't feel that I was anything. I never did, and I never do, even yet. I'm scared of life, apart from the Lord Jesus and apart from my husband, who still drags me along. And anyway, I started my nursing training, and God brought me through that. And then I was to go to Emmanuel Bible College. And it said at the top of this prospectus, you need £15. You can work it out what it is in dollars. I can't even yet. You need £15 as a seal that God's calling you to this college. I thought, Lord, where am I going to get £15? I'll never get that, so I'll never be at the college. I never had money after the dance hall, so I'll never get it. But you know, my aunt, because I used to play on the table, ding 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 ding, and I used to get my sister quite in here, if that's really like a piano, you know. I was mad on a piano, and ding 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 ding, and she'd go out and say, it sounds a wee bit like the piano. Well, my aunt says, well, to my uncle, well, we'd have to get some money and get her to music. So they sent me to learn the piano. And I went there for 7 months to this teacher. And you know all she taught me? How to stir the porridge for her husband, for her pastor husband coming home. That's his old pastor, you know. And I had to stir the porridge for her pastor coming home. But anyway, I learned a bit. And I started playing the piano in my brother-in-law was a pastor. And I played the piano in his church for him. And I told them that I was going into Bible college. And they said, oh, lovely. But I didn't tell them I needed any money to go in. I still hadn't a penny to go in. But I prayed every night and prayed with Bobby. We always prayed. Now listen, if you find a partner, do you hear me, you young people? If you find a partner, never separate at night without prayer. Commit your ways to the Lord. And we always used to, before we parted, we used to pray. And in those days, it was in the air raid shelters at home, we used to pray that God would keep us and guide our lives. And so they had a farewell for me in this church, and I thought, a farewell for me? If these people only knew I had no money, I had nothing to go with, they wouldn't be wishing me well. And they were weeping and all, and they had lovely big cake and a whole lot of lovely things to eat. But I went home, they presented me with an envelope, and I went back home, and my aunt opened the envelope. She said, Alma, there's 3 5-pound notes in this. Just the exact amount that I needed for Bible school training. And then the Lord sent me in more money as I went about singing in different meetings and speaking. But now here it said on the thing, you need a lot of things before you go. Oh, here. Is this right? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
And I needed a lot of things too before I went into Bible college. And I asked the Lord for every one of them, and he made them. I must go quickly. And so I got into Bible college, and I remember lifting my shoes. I said, Lord, look at my shoes. They're way over like that. And I need my shoes mended, but Lord, I've no money. And I'm walking about, you know, Charlie Chaplin. It was nearly like him. And I said, Lord, please mend these shoes for me. So I took them down to the shoemakers. He said, dear, it's a new pair of shoes you need. I said, yeah, I know it is, but could you mend these? Yeah, okay. Well, I said, tell me how much. 5 shillings. I had nothing. I said, okay, I'll be in for them. I had enough faith to say that. Even should have been a few years, and you'd be back for them. And anyway, time went on, and it was nearly time to go in to collect these shoes. And I remember that day so well. A letter came from Ireland, and it was from this pastor's wife. She was a lovely woman. When I took the little piece of paper out, on the corner was pinned a 5-shilling postal order. She said, Alma, it isn't much. Perhaps it'll have your shoes mended. And this is the God whom we serve. This is the God who looks after us. Fancy remembering that I needed my shoes mended. And the very price of them was here. And boy, did I ever go down and pick them up. Was now lovely going to church the next day with my heels right. Old Charlie Chaplin was gone. And I walked down to church so proud because I had nice shoes. And God met, I can't go on telling you how God met every need. I must tell you this other one. They said to me, oh Alma, there's an old woman. And she's never been out of bed for 38 years. She used to work in as a typist in this office. And she came out of the office and opened the door of the lift
elevator
and walked in. Thank you. You'll hear a few of those things before the night. And as I walked into the elevator, as she walked into the elevator wasn't there. So she just walked into and fell down and broke her back. And she was on her back for 38 years. But there was the list of missionaries that she prayed for every day. And when we went to her, I thought, it's not singing this woman needs. Look at the dirt of the place. So of course I wanted to prove to him that I would be a great wife, you know, and he wanted to prove to me he'd be a great husband. So we started cleaning up the place and polishing and getting on and baking for her and things like that. Dear helper, she had the stuff too that I baked. And we had a great time praying and reading the word together. And then she said, Alma, God spoke to me, and she said, there was a lady in here today, and she left me a gift. And I asked the Lord to give me 10 shillings. Just give me 10 shillings, Lord, as a seal that you're calling me to the mission field. And if you sent me that 10 shillings, I'll not worry about the rest of the money. I'll know you'll need it. So she said there was a lady in here, and she gave me a gift. And when she gave it to me, God told me to give it to you. She handed it over when I took it. 10 shillings. The amount for which I had asked the Lord. Friends, I can't go on telling you of all that God did in those days to prove to me that he was with me. That's all I needed. So we got married and set out for Africa. But you know, we were going together for 11 years. Now how would you like that, huh? Weren't allowed to get married, isn't that awful? But we didn't get tired looking at each other, you know. You'd have thought we would, wouldn't you? But anyway, we went together for 11 years, and we thought, Bobby said, Alan, it's time you bought the dress, and it's time we got ready for our marriage. We're going to get married. I said, oh, Bobby, but they'll not allow us. He says, we'll have to get married. So anyway, we went before the council of this missionary society, and they said, well, Bob and Alma, we know that you've been going together for 11 years, but we would still like you to go out to the field and do 2 more years. Are you willing for that? We said, yes. Although we were saying to ourselves, isn't that awful? We said, yes. Well, praise the Lord for some men who have a head on them. This wee pastor, oh, the Lord bless some of the pastors, you know. Anyway, this wee pastor, he said, I'm absolutely ashamed that you guys would ask this couple after 11 years to wait another 2 years. It's absolutely ridiculous. Let them get married, and they'll do more married than they ever could single, because they'd be hunting each other up anyway for the 2 years. And they wouldn't get anything done. So we were saying, oh, the Lord bless him. Well, he's great, you know. And of course they said, all right, we'll let you get married. So we said, thank you very much. And Bobby said, would you like to know the date? That's what pastor said. Now, you remember, you sent me a piece of your cake. We said, oh yeah, we will, sure. But so we got married, and it was great. Even our wedding, the Lord took over. And we couldn't afford... What's a gag? Honestly. A gag. If you've no money, the things that happen. We couldn't even afford a suite after. But they forgot to bring it anyway. And we were praising the Lord because we didn't have to pay for it, for we had no money to pay for it. So they got a very poor meal. But anyway, we were married, and that was all that mattered. And away we went out to Africa. And when we got to Africa, I said to myself, oh, it'd be lovely living in the same house and all. It'd be a nice house. Dear, dear. In the jungle. A wee mud house. He said, well, it's lovely to have you with us. Oh, it's lovely for you to join with us. Isn't this great? And here's your little house. I said, oh, I thought, I'd live in this the rest of my life, you know. But when I get in and sat down, and the bed they had for us, it was a gag. The old mattress was as hard as a... Anyway, those were great testing days. And we had a great time, really. In it all, we were together. And that's what matters. We were together in it. Ah, young people, you pray to God to give you the right partner. And after that, doesn't matter what happens to you, you're in it together. And God will bless you. I do pray he does. So we were there in that jungle for 41 years. And I delivered babies as well. And I delivered babies from our wee pygmy friends. And they're only 4 foot. The women. But you see, the husbands, they're 4'6". But when their wife was having this baby, boy, did they ever come in. They were like 5 foot or 6 foot tall. Their shoulders were way up here. their wife was having a baby, you know, and if you'd seen them as a kid, and they'd come in and we would show them this baby. Oh, it's lovely. And they were all embarrassed, but they were like little chocolate drops. Absolutely gorgeous. And I used to nurse them for quite a while, and I shouldn't say nurse. We say nurse. Nurse means feeding, doesn't it? Well, if I'd have fed all that I delivered. Anyway, I carried this wee baby for quite a while, and somebody told me after one of the meetings, you don't say nurse over here. That means feeding. So I better watch myself. Anyway, I was going to say it again. I took this wee baby and cradled it for quite a long time. And the wee woman said, but Mama, it's my baby. I said, I know it is, but I'm just loving it. Oh, that's all right. She thought I was going to take it away from her, but oh, we had a great time. Well, then I'm going to get quickly to this. Wee John came in. Ah, you want to see wee John? He couldn't read nor write. And he had a terrible stoppage of speech. And it took him a fortnight to get something out, you know. That's how he spoke. But we loved him. He loved the Lord. And he said to my husband, I want to go out preaching, but... So Bobby said to him, okay, John, but you can't go out preaching like that. What you do is we'll teach you what to say and what to do, and then you can just go out and give what we tell you to give, because you'll never be able to study and get a word like that. He said, all right, I'm going into the jungle. He went away further into the jungle. Friends, if you'd seen where we were with wild animals, never mind going further into the jungle. And we prayed that the Lord would keep him safe in the jungle, and you could hear all the animals, you know. That's terrific, you guys. You should go out into the jungle. It's great. He's all serious. I really mean it. Smile. And anyway, John went out into the jungle. And we were praying, oh Lord, keep him safe. Well, he came back in again from the jungle. The stoppage of speech was all gone. He lifted the Bible. He started to read fluently. Huh? He started to sing. He says, Bonnie, he put his arms around my husband. I can go now. God has called me and he has equipped me. I can read, I can speak, I can sing. We stood and looked at him. We thought we were looking at another man. Honestly, friends. But when they stood there with their arms around each other, God sent us a mighty Holy Ghost revival. And the people started coming in the thousands, onto the mission station. And we had a fairly big church that my husband and the other men built, but it was too small. It only held 700. Huh? And thousands came in, so we took them out into the palms outside, the big palm trees, and we called it Palm Cathedral. And there were thousands on their faces crying to God to save souls and to send revival throughout the whole area, the whole forest. And friends, he did. And what a revival. What a sing. Oh, friends, pray that it falls down upon us too. We need it. We need it. Friends, there's one thing we need, and may God visit us. May he have mercy on us. We need a Holy Ghost revival. What would you think of this place? All in our faces singing the songs of Zion and praising the Lord, eh? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Thousands were under that palm tree. Oh, I tell you, friends. But it was a preparation for what was to come. And then right after that, the rebellion started. And they started taking these poor Africans. We thank God that they were ready. And they slaughtered them. Slaughtered them. Just like animals. And it was their own people that were doing it. They slaughtered them. And they came into our mission station. They took us out, threw us out. Get up there, we're going to shoot you. Get in line. So we went up and stood in line, and we're standing there. And our little girl, Ruth, she was only about 4 years of age then. And she looked up, she said, "Mommy, what's happening? Daddy, are they going to shoot us now?" We said, "Well, you know the Lord Jesus. Just hand your little life over to him and trust him." They put the guns right on our faces and they said, "Boy, we've got you guys now and we're going to kill you." Friends, if God asks you to go through that, I want to tell you, honestly, before God, I'm telling you, if God asks you to ever go through that, it could come. Don't think it couldn't come here. It could. There are daft people everywhere. Huh? So don't think it couldn't come here, because the Irish people called them for everything. And we said to them, "Listen, please don't call them those names. Some of them are the loveliest Christians that you could ever find on the face of the earth, and they've been slaughtered. It could come here, and hasn't it? Hasn't Ireland been tortured for years?" So friends, watch what you say. Watch with that mouth of yours. The devil uses it to say the wrong things. Get it cleansed in the blood. And so they stood us up. Oh, they said, "Get you folk into the house. We can't do anything with you." Aye. God was with us. And all fear was gone. Hey, there's a wee girl standing there. 2.5 years of age. And looking at the gun and looking at the... No crying. No squealing. Nothing. Just stood. Who was that if it wasn't the Lord took over? He'll never ask you to go through anything that he doesn't go with. He goes with you all the way. And I can hardly even remember those days because God took us through. Well, I better run. And I better go on. So anyway, they put us back in the home, and they came a lot of other days and stood us out every day. We were under house arrest for 4 months, and they tortured us the whole time in those 4 months, and we had no food. And so we were lovely and slim. Hey, if you want a diet, try that. And we were all lovely and slim by the time we got out. But you know, our African Christians, they weren't allowed near us. But they used to slip in at night, in the middle of the night, and put in a bag of peanuts. Oh, they were lovely, those peanuts. Peanuts for 4 months. But we survived. And then, the last day, they took us out. They shot Hector McMillan. Oh, we lost a missionary when we lost Hector McMillan. They riddled him with bullets. He dropped. They shot my husband. The bullet grazed his forehead and took the skin with it. If he'd gone a little further down, he was gone too. Then they said, "Ah, we can't go on. Get you folk into the house. We're going to go into the house and shoot you there." The two men were lying out there. And being the only nurse in the group, I didn't know what to do. Whether to attend the men or go in with the other people and help them if anything happened then. And sure enough, they came in, blasted us with the guns. But God directed every bullet. There were two boys, and it was the two McMillan boys. One had shrapnel from the tin table, went into the eye here. Another, a bullet in his hip. And all I had to get that bullet out was a razor blade. But God saw us through. We got this out of the eye. And do you know, I had just prayed that the Lord would send me some penicillin. We had nothing. And one of the rebels came and said, "There's a parcel that's come for you." What was it? Penicillin. If he had known, he would have taken it. He didn't know what it was, so I got my parcel. But God sent it. In the middle of all that trouble, he sent me the penicillin. So I was able to... We were all breaking out in boils and sores because of the terrible situation in which we were held. Friends, it was dreadful. But then we were released, and I must go on, we were released. And I remember getting these 13 children. There were 13 children standing there of the missionaries. And I got them, and I put them all down in a row in the house that they allowed us over in Kenya. And I put them down. And I said, Lord, there they are. And only you spared them. Take every one of them for missionary work. He has. They're all in missionary work. God spared the 13, and I didn't want God to spare the 13 and them go wild. So they're all in God's service. Now, what have I to go? Oh, yeah. What we want you to tell you about delivering this little baby. In the middle of the night, they called me. The women did, called me out as many times to deliver babies. And I said to them, look, I'm not allowed out. They'll kill me if they find me out of this house. And they'll not only kill me, they'll kill you too. So anyway, I went out and delivered the babies. And one of the babies, when I delivered it, everything else came out with it, with the baby. I thought, Lord, I don't know what all this is. But I tried to remember my anatomy and physiology, and I looked at this mess and I lifted this and put it where I thought it was back in. Put another thing where I thought it was back. Friends, it was a mess. And I said, this woman's going to die because I don't know where I've put all these things, but I just remember where they should have been. And I went in that direction. I said, she's going to die. You know, the Lord's grace is with an old, dull person like me. What did I know? I'm no doctor. I was a nurse, but went down the next day in fear and trembling down to her house, expecting to see her laid out. I thought she was pounding away at her rice and singing, and there was a lovely little baby. But then the rebels came. Come on, where's this nurse? Where is she, this midwife? Come on, where are you? Quick, out. I said, oh, Bobby. He said, oh, man, I'm going with you. I said, no, Bobby, please. Please stay. Because, see, you Americans, you're a gag. Or you don't know a gag, do you? You're funny. But anyway. These Americans started in. And they should have kept their mouths closed because they weren't in the thing at all. It was the British. But the Americans started to take sides with us and with the... Well, that made the rebels worse. And they weren't only after the Africans and the British. They were after all Americans. Boy, we were going to get the Americans. So I said, Bobby, please stay with me and look after the Americans here that we're locked up with. And he said, will you be all right? I said, yeah, I'll be all right. So I ran through the jungle with these rebels and I prayed, Lord, just keep me. And they said, we want to tell you that this woman you're going to deliver has had 4 babies and they're all born dead. And if this one's dead, you're dead too. I kept running. I knew that the Lord was there and he was listening to what they were saying. I didn't need to listen. So away I went. And you want to see the squalor. The men sit on their babies' stomachs to push out the baby. And they push everything they can think of to keep the evil spirits quiet into this poor soul. She was a proper mess. And the house was a mess. A devil's house, really. And I went over to her and I said, hello, love. She said, oh, Mama. Mama, thanks for coming. I said, it's all right. I said, well, I examined her. I said, you're ready for delivery now. So we'll deliver you. And I delivered her. Dead. The baby was dead. The rebels were sitting around with their guns at the ready. And they were going, it's dead, They started talking which way they were going to kill me. But I didn't care. I knew I was in God's hands. Honestly, friends, all fear goes from you when you're there with the Lord. And I was lying with this dead baby in my arms. And then I heard the most wonderful feet in the world. My wee husband. He came running to see what was wrong, if everything was all right. And I said, oh, Bobby, I've just delivered this baby. And I told him, he said, good. Hold it out. So I held it out. My husband prayed in Swahili. Father. Because they told me, what are you out here preaching anyway? There's no God. He's done nothing for us. So Bobby just prayed, Father, we know you're in heaven. We know you love us. You sent Jesus to die for us. And if we would put our trust in Jesus, we would be saved and go to heaven. And he preached a little bit to them. Then he said, now, Father, this dear mother would love a little life, baby. And we just ask you in love to remember us. Touch this little baby and give it life. That wee baby started to wriggle in my arms. Friends, I could hardly believe it. And I held it to me. So, oh Lord, I began to weep. Just for sheer joy. And I took it over to the dear mother and she said, Mama, it's alive. Oh, and it's my baby, Mama. It's my baby and it's alive. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I said, no. You don't thank me. I said, when I delivered that baby, it was dead. It was God who gave it life. And he wants you to look after it for him. I will. I'll look after it for him. Oh, she said, she was a lovely Christian woman. She said, I will. We went back 2 years ago to visit them after that experience. And the 6 Macmillan boys, their father was shot dead beside Bobby. And the mass of blood as I went out to look at that dear missionary. Oh, friend, do you know what I saw? I saw heaven open. As I looked up, I said, oh God, friends, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And then it was like 2 arms came down and took Hector right up and right in and closed over. God gave us wonderful signs and wonders in those days. And I, as we took the body in to Iona, the wife, and her 6 boys, she said, Alma, has he gone? Now here's a missionary with 6 sons, big boys, and she was about our age, looking at the torn body of her husband. And to know that he had gone, friends, what a moment. She just said, well, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, God has significantly blessed that family. But the mother just died recently. But those 6 boys are in God's service. And they call us their mother and father. And we're glad. We have 3 of our own and those 6. And you know, we all met about many weeks ago.
5 weeks
ago, they came over to us and we all met. And you want to hear the kalele? Oh, I'm speaking Israeli now. You want to hear the noise of our kids and their kids? Oh, what a time they had. And we had a great time. But when we went back, Bobby and I went back a couple of years ago, and those 6 Macmillan boys, we didn't know, they didn't tell us, they'd gone out and they built a beautifully big church on the site where their father died. A beautiful church. You'll maybe see it maybe on one of our films. Beautiful church. They called it the Macmillan Memorial Church. And thousands were in that church. And souls were getting saved. And I'm standing, Bobby's in the pulpit, and I'm standing at the doorway, looking and thanking God. When the women who were out in their gardens, they heard that I had arrived, and that was the first after the trouble, and they came back. And they got the hold of me, friends, and lifted an old woman like me, and threw me up in the air, and caught me again. Threw me up again. I said, oh Lord, please help me. Let's come down. Mama, you're here to stay. You're not going home again. We need you with us, Mama. I said, but I have to go. What? you're staying right here. And then they threw me up again to make sure that the third time was lucky. That's what they say in Ireland, the third time's lucky. But anyway, I said, I can't stay. But you know, there are thousands in that Congo jungle tonight who were saved by God's grace in that revival, and it moved right over to Kenya. God grant that it moves right over to here. I do trust it does. May God bless you. I have lots more that I could tell you, but time is... What?
Deaconess at that church.
Oh, yes. And when we were back... It's great to have a husband. Now, you girls, watch up. Get a husband. And I was standing at the door of the church, and I heard this commotion. I thought it was the wild animals coming in from the jungle, but it wasn't. It was the children coming in to tell me who they were. And one of them was the child of the wee baby I delivered. And they said to me, Mama, our mother is in the jungle far out, bringing in her stuff. She doesn't know you're here. If she knew you were here, there'd be chaos. But they said, do you know who what she is now? She's the deaconess of this big church. Huh? The wee baby I delivered. I told her to raise her children up for the Lord. She did, and this wee baby was one of them that she reared and is now the deaconess of the church out there in the jungle. Oh, friends, isn't God good? Huh? Out of chaos, he brings good. I'd love to be back right there. Oh, I tell you, friends, if I was younger. I'm just heading on for 80 years of age. And they wouldn't accept me. Maybe I could change my age, eh? And say I'm just 21 and a wee bit. And then they would never know. Well, the Lord bless you. You go out and take our place, won't you? God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.